Recorded live from their studio in Los Angeles, California, it's Alex featuring Pokey Kells in the Super Beard Show. This week, the news, the mysterious shadows of Skull Shadow Island, and Super 2007 Vanity Fair Bruce Questionnaire Bros. The date is August 19th, 2022. Support this podcast at patreon.com/superbeardbros. My name is Ted Coonrod. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the seventh ever episode of the Super Beard Show. I'm Alex. No one else is here that you know about just yet. Welcome back to it. I want to say, first of all, before we get into anything today, first of all, welcome. Hello. Second of all, this episode took forever to come out because we've been working overtime on our Super Beard Bowl show, Nostalgia Hunters. It's taking a bunch of time and a bunch more shooting and production stuff than we normally do, but we think it's going to be really good and worth the wait. And obviously, Brett is out of town this week, so joining last minute instead is my beautiful partner, Kels.
Hello. Welcome to the Super Beard Show.
so slick.
I don't know. I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, if you don't know who Kels is, I once worked with her on a show called The Decks that we made for many years together and who I'm going to get married to relatively soon.
And we were in love before that. We didn't meet on the show. A lot of people think we met on the show, but we didn't meet on the show. We met before the show.
That's weird that there's like lore, right?
Right?
Yeah.
And it's weird.
But welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
It's weird because we're shooting the show right now, like in our house. And so we're just like sitting in our own living room talking to each other. But except like there's like a made up audience that's like not here.
They're not made up.
They're here.
They're real.
They will exist, but they don't even know we're doing this right now. You know what I mean? Like we're operating totally in secret. I don't know. It's weird.
We're operating in secret.
Listen. Hi, Kels. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me. It's so lovely to be here. You have a lovely home.
Thank you. Thank you. We both keep it very clean together.
I like the plants.
Yeah. You know what? I want to go. Look. Okay. Before we get too deep into this, let's break the ice with the segment that you may recognize the segment, actually. I like to call it the news. No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It lives on. This week on the news, what's up, Kels? What's in your life?
What's in my life?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just a bunch of dogs.
That's it?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Are you not talking about what's going on in your day to day?
No. I mean, I don't know. Like I took a little bit of time off from veterinarying and I'm just like walking dogs for a little bit now. And just like chilling out because like sometimes you need to do that after a pandemic in which you didn't stop working a single day.
I want to tell you, ever since that Kelly has started like walking dogs, she's literally like smiling, happy, healthy. She cartwheels everywhere instead of walking.
I can't do cartwheels. Yeah, actually, last time I did a cartwheel, something happened in my leg and my entire inner thigh turned black and blue. I think I might have torn some sort of vessel or something.
What was that?
It was at a Christmas party at Comedy Sports.
Oh my God.
It was a long time ago.
Like 10 years ago?
No, well, probably, I don't know, because I think we were dating. So probably less than 10 years ago, but just barely.
That's wild.
So I've never done a cartwheel since then.
All right. Well, what's new in your life? How are you doing? How are you doing this week? What's up?
This week, there's not much. I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
It's fun. Monster Hunter Rise. What's your rank? Oh my God. It's 69.
It is. I have to catch up to you. I'm like falling behind a little bit because I've been like gaming super hard. Been playing like a lot of games. I have like game DD. Is that real? You like that?
No, I don't.
I'm all over the place with my gaming.
Yeah, I feel you. That's fine.
But I am trying to keep playing Monster Hunter.
Oh, I'm reading a lot of Sandman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How's that?
I'm on volume 5. It's excellent.
Yeah.
It's like very much like you recommended it to me. And so did many other people in my life. But like they were always like, you specifically would really like it. And I'm always like, what? Why? No. And, you know, because whenever people say that, I instinctually go like, no. And I like, don't do it.
I couldn't possibly have a readable identity. The things that I'm putting out into the world paying off? No way.
I hate it. No. But it's excellent. And it's just like, I don't know. You know, if you've read Sandman, you know, it's like all about like the nature of dreams and the king of dreams, like, and his travails in all sorts of situations. It's just good. It's really cool.
Is it anything?
I'm glad I read it now.
Yeah.
And not when I was younger, because I think I would have been turned off by some of the violence when I was younger, but that's just because I was a little bit of a square back then.
Is it what you imagined it would be, or is it like way different than what you imagined it would be?
I don't know. know what I imagined, but it is really satisfying. It's really cool. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know what I imagined. I truly didn't even know if it was true, if it was going to be about like the Sandman or not. I didn't know. It's a comic book. It could be about literally anything.
Yeah,
anything,
and it's weird that it's like squarely in DC Comics.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not like in his own world. He's like in the DC.
He was like, the Justice League, huh?
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. But they didn't show up, so that was fine.
Exactly. But yeah, we're about to watch the Netflix.
I have anything against the Justice League. That sounded like I was against
them. It did, but that's fine. And I think you are a little bit.
I'm not against them.
Would you pick up the comic?
I don't read comics.
See, you do though. But
I do, but not a lot of them.
Yeah, but that's normal.
I don't want to read the Justice League. There's too much of it.
See, there is something. You have something against it. I don't know what. Too much of it?
There's so much.
No. Okay, we have to talk about this off camera. I'm getting too heated.
I don't think so. You're heated.
Not actually heated. I'm just getting... I'm getting hype about getting you to read comics
because
I always see the my in and I want to take it because
whatever, do if you need.
No, it's fine. I just like it.
It's
when
not like they're going anywhere. They're right behind me right now.
Honestly, I think part of it is just that I own hundreds of trades and I just like want someone else to read them because I have so many of them.
Because then in your mind it'll justify the amount.
Justify. Yeah, I mean, I don't care if you read comics. I really don't. I like, that's not important to me. I just sometimes think you'd really like a comic.
Yeah.
Like Sandman is like literally made for you.
Yeah, it truly is. I can't deny that. It really is.
And speaking of comics, we literally just finished watching She-Hulk.
That's true.
The first episode of She-Hulk.
That's correct.
I feel like a level of quality here higher than the other shows in terms of like, feeling like a television show. Like Moon Knight was up there, felt like a TV show. Ms. Marvel, I feel like, is the closest to She-Hulk where it feels like it could actually have been on television, maybe.
It was cute. I liked it. Like, yeah, I liked Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel has like...
I more liked the style of Ms. Marvel than I did like anything like, you know, I don't... From what you've told me, it's not anything like the character in the comic book, Ms. Marvel. I mean, like, there's many things that are, but like power wise, it's
not. Other than her actual origin, it's her. I mean, she's a nerd. Sure. She loves the Avengers. Yeah.
Like, you know, personality and like everything like that. But like, she's not contextual. She wasn't an Eternal. They called her a mutant.
No, she's supposed to be an Inhuman. She's supposed to be an Inhuman, right. but I'm not going to. What did you say?
I called her an Eternal.
Yeah. No, but I mean, but the other thing that you say, is a spoiler. I don't know if anybody heard it. If you heard it, oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well. Sorry.
Too bad. Yeah. It's been out for a long time.
Yeah, like a month.
Oh, really? I thought we were late.
maybe like 2 months. I don't know.
I would have said like 6 years.
6 years?
Months.
She-Hulk was good. It was weird how slow Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo was talking.
Oh, okay. Is that because of the CG?
I have no idea why, but it was just weird. Like, didn't it seem like he was
I don't know. I guess
I
didn't notice. I think he was about...
Maybe he just kind of talks slow in general.
I don't know. You know, he was trying to be like Zen.
Yeah, I get that.
Throughout the whole thing. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do? I don't know. Tatiana Maslany is really good.
I like her. Yeah. I like her a lot as an actress in general. I think that she has a lot of range.
I missed, what's it called? First time around, Orphan Black.
Oh yeah. It's really good. My sister was into it before I was, and I never really actually saw the beginning of it, but I watched the end. I kind of hopped on the end of it with her because, she was really excited about it. And she does awesome in that. She's like seven different people, but they're all clones. They're all the same. I don't, you know, whatever. Has been out for 6 years or longer. They're all clones. And so, but she like has totally different personalities for each one. She's a really good actress. And then she's also in, what's that one?
Perry Mason.
Yeah. Perry Mason. She was really good in that too.
Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Weird that she's like now a lawyer.
Yeah.
Cause she was in Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Mason was very good.
It was very good.
I really enjoyed that.
That's a TV show.
Yeah.
She-Hulk, you know, it's as good as a Marvel can get.
I think it's the best one so far. Well,
really?
For this one to me feels the most like a focused, legitimate show with like goals.
Mm-hmm. I do like how Marvel is kind of starting to take itself a little bit less seriously with everything, just because like there's so much of everything now that like you just got to kind of like be silly about it. You know, there's like. Like we're not going to pretend that this is not a wacko world. Like
this
it
feels,
is.
Yeah, this feels good. Like I feel like this one and Hawkeye feel like they spent the amount of pre-production time on them that like a TV show would have. Mm-hmm. Where I feel like things like Moon Knight And even Loki was also pretty high production, but like,
I liked Loki, but I like Loki in general.
Yeah. Like, it just feels like some of the shows are like written very strangely.
Like a means to an end so that you know enough to see the movie later.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and not
exactly.
like actually standing on their own.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's not like a character piece. Like, I don't know. Moon Knight was kind of a character piece and in that it like didn't touch the rest of the Marvel universe. But I also like felt like they were trying to explain who Moon Knight is. I don't know. Point is, I like this one. It's real good.
Yeah, it was cute. I like it. I like her. I don't know anything. I didn't know anything about She-Hulk really at all, except for that she was a lawyer and she was a Hulk, is a Hulk.
Remains I love that.
A Hulk. So, you know, I mean, that's what I know about her now, even still watching the first episode. So I didn't learn too much, but I learned how they got, how she got to be that way, which I thought was.
They stuck just, to the, they stuck, like a lot of it's just this, like the basic origin of She-Hulk. And I like that they just got it out of the way. I was reading, like, I saw some meme about like a superhero movie in the 2000s being like, you watch the origin for like a trilogy of movies for them to like.
That was getting like pretty, that was getting pretty too much for a minute there. I'm glad they figured out that like, we don't need to know. We can just, you know.
Like, think about how often you pick up a comic book with like, with the character's name on the front. And then you, in that comic book, see how they became the superhero. Like,
never.
One in a thousand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, She-Hulk was good.
Yeah.
I think that's the news today. I'm just keeping it cash. I don't know. We're just kind of rolling through it. I mean,
what kind of news do you mostly do, like comics news, Marvel?
What we
news,
usually do DC is we news? Usually bring like a thing each.
Oh.
Like last time,
I prepared something.
No, it's okay. Like last time, I brought the DeLorean. Like you jumped in last minute to help us out, so I'm not like going to give you homework. But we jumped in. We talked about the DeLorean last time.
Oh, okay.
You know, like
remember
seeing
when I saw that the other day?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, that was what you're talking about.
Yeah, I showed them the pics. We put them on the show.
Oh, okay. You know what? I have one that I saw today. I have something to bring to the podcast.
Really?
It's okay. This bumper sticker on this car, and it is a made up evolution that is its tail and its rough. They're weed nugs.
Oh, nice.
It's Nug V. EV.
It's called Nug V.
No, there's no name, but it was, I was looking at it and I was like, is that an evolution? Oh, it is supposed to be, but it's just weed nugs.
It should be called Chivi.
Chivi. Okay. Yeah, I like it. It's, I mean, what are you going to do? But shouldn't it be Chivion?
Oh, Chivion?
If it's of an evolution.
That's better. How about Chibion?
Chibion? Chibion?
Chibion.
But then I think it'd have to be like,
cute. How about Tree Be Gone?
I don't like that one. I wish you all could see the picture. But
how about Shishion?
It kind of actually looks more like they used Espeon as a base and then changed it to be Nuggion. It's Nuggion.
What about Vapion? That's funny, right?
It's too close to Vaporeon.
I know, but that's the fun. Okay, well, that's all right.
People will get confused.
Yeah. All right.
That's my news. I took a picture of that. And that's it. Oh, your news. You made some good food.
Oh, yeah.
That was some good news.
That's the, like, we're like a married couple, basically, news where.
Oh, my God.
I made some sausages and some arugula and some garlic. And we put on some toast with some olive oil.
It was just like really
so good.
Good. Making something like good, doing it right, rather than just being like, I'm just going to slap it on the microwave and put it on a piece of bread and not do anything with the bread and eat it. Like, yeah, it'll be fine. But when you like do it up right. It's good.
It was damn good.
It's not hard.
Can you hear that dog?
I
don't know if you guys can at home, but God, he sounds like he's dying.
He sounds like he's like.
Yeah.
That's my impression.
I love that.
Thank you.
Anyway, that's the news. And now for a world first, we're going to take you into a segment that I like to call The Mysterious Shadows of Skull Shadow Island.
What?
That's right. Today, Kels, you're going to join me. We're going to embark on the first ever, I don't know if it's the first ever, audio only Let's Play.
What?
That's right. There's a game on clickhole.com, the comedy website, called The Mysterious Shadows of Skull Shadow Island, and we're going to play it together right now. As a matter of fact, I sent you a link to it earlier and told you not to read it.
Ah, there it is.
Just like U2's album. It's already on your phone.
Yeah, I already saw it, but I didn't click on it because you said, don't read this. It's for later.
Sweet.
So I click it now?
Yep.
All right.
So let's do it. Lead us through.
Does it have sounds?
No, it's just an adventure
except
game.
The cookies. Oh, okay. This is nice. I like this.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful picture at the top of this of a body of water with a small island, and there's like some rocks because it seems like the person that took the picture standing on the shore, and there's a canoe in the background. You're paddling your canoe as the sun sets over Twilight Bay. You feel that familiar trickle at the base of your spine, that cold stab in your gut that inevitably heralds the start of one of your grand boyhood adventures. You can tell that your brother feels it too.
My God.
Paddle onward. That's the only thing I can do.
You paddled onward.
Paddled onward.
Okay.
Ooh, brothers in the fog is the next picture. Good paddling, brother, says Brock. Actually, good paddling, brother, says Brock over his shoulder. Just kidding. rare praise from the elder Coleman. Coleman, that's our name. Brock Coleman. That's his name. You relish it. You've really been carrying your weight on these recent adventures. The curse of the corpse's crypt, stolen eye of Osiris, the big dog conundrum. It really eases my mind. Yeah, I would be helpful.
The big dog conundrum?
The big dog conundrum.
We're boy detectives.
We seem to be boy detectives.
Okay.
Brock Coleman and Brother Coleman. Store this wonderful pride you feel deep down inside so that you might draw on it when things get tough for you and your crew-necked brother have set out to expose the incredible secrets behind... The mysterious shadows of shadows, Skull Shadow Island.
Yay, title screen.
It's all caps. You are Eric Coleman.
Got it.
Coleman. You and your older brother, Brock.
Yeah,
Coleman,
I'm with it. I got
are
it.
It's Eric and Brock. Hollowport, Maine.
Be so specific. Write it down. I got it.
With your father, who is there to deliver a lecture on criminology. While walking through the sleepy town, you hear frightened whispers of strange happenings at the Skull Shadow Island out in Twilight Bay. Secret tales of shadowy figures spied from shore at midnight, of honest fishermen unreturned from their trips. Being stout, adventurous young mystery boys, you decide to rent a canoe and go investigate. Let's investigate a mystery as brothers!
Yay! Go team venture!
Yeah! Yeah. All right. A moonlit body of water is the photo.
Okay.
You moor your canoe. I was trying to be so good. You moor your canoe. More?
Yeah, more.
You moor your canoe upon the craggy shores of Skull Shadow Island. We went so fast. The sun has fallen behind the horizon, leaving only the sullen moon to light your actions. Okay, we can go north, we can go south, or we can head into the morbid grin of the eponymous skull of Skull Shadow Island. We should not go to the skull first. That's probably the end boss.
You think so?
I don't know. I play D&D.
Okay. You want to go north?
I like north.
You feeling north?
Yeah. I wish I could see what looked... Well, it's a text-based adventure. I'm very visual. You know how it is.
Yeah, I get it.
Excuse me. Let's go north. Ooh.
What do we got?
It's a picture of it looks like a wrecked ship. That's kind of like all skeletoned out, but somebody's put a light in it to photograph it. And so there's all these like cool lights coming out of the ship.
Ooh.
Ooh. You come upon the wreck of a ship. Peering closer, you see it is labeled the HMS Hogarth. While ravaged on the outside, the inside is swashed with activity.
A swash.
It was the font. No, it wasn't. Hardy voices hollering about quotas and shipping times. The word drugs is loudly said many times.
Oh, shit.
Drugs!
These guys are into drugs.
Brock leans in, whispers, Eric Coleman, my brother. Do you think these are ghosts? We can say, yes, I do. Say, Brock, come on. I definitely think that. or you can say, yes. Brock, come on. I definitely think that.
You going for it?
Yes, I definitely think that.
Love that.
Brock leans in closer, still whispering, should we sneak up and take a closer look or should we sing the song to kill ghosts that priest taught us last year? His breath smells like your father's brandy.
Oh, God.
What? Brock, are you drunk? Yes, let's get a better look. Let us join hands and sing, my brother. Let us cast the phantasms back to hell. What do you think?
So which can we do?
We can either get a better look or we can start to sing.
Start to sing? Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I personally would always choose stealth over brazenly entering.
Me too. I'm always that guy in like a Skyrim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'm always that guy.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid.
We got to get a better look. We got to assess the situation. You cannot act appropriately if you don't assess the situation. Let's get
absolutely
a better look. Ooh, scary silhouette pictures in the fog. They are talking, these ghouls. They are toiling in the night at their ghastly charge, doing things that you, with your mind full of green grass and school erasers and dog prints, cannot truly fathom.
Oh, shit.
Loading powders into vials, vials into crates, crates onto boats, haunting the shore like commies in a bread line. Weird line. Listen to their words or shout. My brother and I came to solve the mystery of the island, but now I want to join you in whatever you are doing here. Take my brother as a token of my submission.
No, we don't want to give him away yet. He's drunk, but I don't hate him.
Brock is, you know, he's all right.
Yeah, I don't hate him.
So we're going to listen to their words. You wait. Eventually, two of these villains stop briefly and talk. To talk and smoke. The brigands.
Her work is here more easily.
Whoa.
Ja, ik wil dat weer een opzoek naar de indringers.
What?
I'm reading it phonetically.
Mission vrouw zektakit zu en zirker zin als kik had in god stel hersens. Mari kebingin god stel hersens.
It's really not English?
Et vrouw in sin par rugende handen de night kan worden wegging wege guid.
Yes. Can I read that?
And warheed, ho, ho, ho.
Let me just finish it.
Okay.
It mokter ganar on the basis in the schedule. Ik witted lij. Marik vergitted watchword. What is that watchword?
Oh, it is could be.
On it when it zipparge. It is Latinges vertaling van de word and bosmanen.
It feels like
Farwell.
It feels okay. Like you might be just not reading it.
Do you want to try? I did it as best as I could.
Oh yeah, it's not good.
I swear, I read it perfectly.
You pay attention to this, knowing that it is important. You do not pay attention because who cares?
You do not pay attention because who cares?
It's like, do you want to do the Kells version or the Alex version?
What do you want to do?
I don't think it's going to be important after looking at the words.
Okay, who cares? We do not pay attention because who cares?
What?
What?
We got it. Game over.
What?
Jesus Christ, are you fucking kidding me? You were basically handed the keys to the boyhood mystery and you can't even keep it together long enough to figure it out? Fuck you. Fuck your fucking brother. They were drug smugglers working for your dad. Happy? This is over.
Oh, shit.
We can restart at the checkpoint.
Where's the checkpoint?
I'll click it. Aha! We're back on the shore of the island.
God damn it.
Skull Island. We can go south or we can go to the skull this time.
Okay.
Which one?
Let's go to the skull. Since we already died, let's just go to the skull.
Let's go to the dang skull. No, your brother interrupts. Before we head to the interior of the island, we should
reconnoiter.
What's raconteur is what I was thinking. That's
raconteur
not the same
is
word.
A storyteller. Okay. Reconnoiter is, I believe, recon.
Reconnoiter. Both the north and south shores. He's right, damn him. Let's go south this time.
Okay.
You follow the shore south. An abandoned lighthouse looms in the distance like a lonely sentinel standing watch over a country for which it feels nothing. Stony, cold, no longer the welcoming beacon, the object of scores of sailors' salty prayers, a hollow shell. Look, your brother interrupts your internal monologue. A message in a bottle! I'm sure it's not germane to anything that's happening here, Brock. It's a huge coincidence that it washed up right as we were looking around. Let's ignore it and explore the lighthouse for mysteries.
No way.
We're going to look at the message.
Yeah, no way.
This mysterious adventure is going great.
Well.
It's there in the surf. Just as your pubic older adventure brother said. Why does it say pubic?
He's pubic.
Like hair?
Well, the hair is hair. Pubic, the definition of pubic means relating to the pubes or pubis. So he's pube-like.
Well, that's not very nice. Okay, we can read the message or we can pretend to read the message to placate Brock, who is not the boss of you.
I want to read the message.
We should read the message. Why would I not read a message in a bottle that washed up? If we were actually at the beach and the bottle washed up on the shore and it had a message in it,
I would read it.
There's not a chance in hell that I would not read the message.
It's different when a guy just comes up to you and starts talking gibberish.
I was a little, this is the message. I was a little too tall, could have used a few pounds, tight pants, points hardly renown. She was a black-haired beauty with big dark eyes and points all her own, sitting way up high, way up firm and high, out past the cornfields where the woods got heavy, out in the back seat of my 60 Chevy, working on mysteries without any clues, working on our night moves, trying to make some front page drive-in news, working on our night moves in the summertime, in the sweet summertime. We weren't in love. Oh, no, far from it. It's the lyrics to Night Moves. All right. We can go to the lighthouse or we can fight Brock for wasting everyone's time.
Let's just go.
Fuck Bob, go to the lighthouse. That was Bob worth, Seger. I think that was worth it. Oh, all right. You enter the lighthouse and climb to the top. No worry, no messing around. Just go to the top.
Straight up.
While examining the walls for inscriptions and large fingerprints, you hear footsteps and voices below.
That's what I'm saying, you savvy. Henderson's got his jobs out here patrolling for whoever they left their canoe on that beach, while the others got the cushy drug loading work. It's unfair is what it is.
Oh, shit.
This one does have real words.
Tell it to the bloody words, Smith. He's our boss. Let's just hope he doesn't kill you for opening your mouth before you get the words out. Now let's have a look around before we're done with it.
Those are ghost voices, if I've ever heard them, you whisper, and Brock nods his head in agreement.
Why does he always want it to be ghosts?
The scraping of footfalls begins echoing up the stairs. Do we hide in the crate that was next to us the whole time? Do we embrace our inner violence and kill the ghosts with our hands? Not effective. Do we jump out the window and climb down the rope that was there the whole time?
Hide.
So it's either the crate or the rope.
Hide. Don't jump out the window.
Okay, let's hide. We'll hide. We'll hide.
We're just boys.
We're just boys. You and Brock duck inside the crate. The patrolling villain is right outside.
If there was anyone hiding here, I wouldn't want to know that the true secret of this island is that.
Suddenly, the floor of the crate begins to sink beneath you and your brother. Down and down, you fall until the world feels miles away. It's getting darker and darker. What's happening?
What's happening?
What's happening? Oof. You and your brother awake to the happy titter of a babbling brook and the smell of sweet pipe smoke. Bong rips, bros, 24-20.
What?
It's just
much of that was written there?
Just the pipe smoke. Okay. A delightful little gnome is sitting under the greenest tree either of you has ever seen.
She also has green hair. Her phone is green also. Also, her blanket is green.
Oh, God. Too much. I didn't know this. Allow me to introduce myself. The tree? Hold on. Oh, a delightful little gnome is sitting under the greenest tree. Either of you has ever seen. I got so distracted by the tree, I forgot about the gnome.
She got hyped because it was green like weed.
Allow me to introduce myself, he chuckles. My name is Brock Bartigan, and you must be Kings Ericus and Brocklington. Ride with me through the Forest of Orthor, for there's much to discuss at the Castle of Lightwood.
The only option is ride with Brock Bartigan. Brock Bartigan is his name.
We're high, aren't we?
Yeah, probably. Brock Bartigan. What? What?
Do we die again?
No. We ride with him and Brock to a land of adventure, where you will live for 1,000 seasons and rule and fight and be merry, where your deeds will be sang of and written down forever in these, the annals of Tyleria. We win.
We win. We went to Tyleria.
We went to Tyleria. Win. We win.
I love that. All right.
Well, we can restart at checkpoint or we can start. It is an end. It is a game over.
No, that's okay. We did good.
I think we did good. I think we ended up in a good place.
We saw both sides of what it's like to be a boy detective.
You know, if we were about to go do a drug bust on Skull Island, I think that it's almost better that we went with a gnome to a magical fantasy world and just got to live for many years. It did say many years, right? We lived
1,000 lifetimes.
We're 1,000 seasons and rule and fight and be merry. Our deeds are sang of.
It's Narnia.
No problem.
Great. Yeah.
I'm not really worried about that.
We crushed it. If you guys want to play the mysterious shadows of Skull Shadow Island yourself, it's on Clickhole. It's hilarious. It's a great website. Check it out.
I think we did it pretty good.
Yeah. So normally during this show at this point, we go into maybe a second segment and normally we go maybe into fan Q&A here.
Okay.
But instead, since Brett is out of town and we were going to respond to answers to his question this week that he asked last time.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, we're going to save that for next week or next episode. And instead, we're going to do a new guests only segment, which I like to call Super 2007 Vanity Fair Proust Questionnaire Bros.
What?
That's right. I maybe have done this somewhere else before on a website that only the realist OG listeners will remember. Mm. But whenever I'm going to talk to a guest of any kind, even somebody I know as well as you, the first thing that always comes to mind is the Vanity Fair version of the famous Proust questionnaire, which was written by the famous French writer Marcel Proust. He's one of the most influential writers ever. And in order to truly get to the core of what people are all about, that's why he wrote this.
Oh, my.
Normally, I just let myself be inspired by it in my line of questioning or whatever when I like get into the interview zone of the chat. But since this is just like a casual podcast where we chat about stuff anyway, I figured let's just do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
This is Super 2007 Vanity Fair Proust Questionnaire Bros. And wow. You, real quick, there's a lot of them, so feel free to answer as many or as few of these as you like. Passes are very welcome because Proust can be a little hardcore for some.
Okay.
I'm going to just go in.
I saw a Q&A with Tommy Wiseau one time, and somebody asked him, what does a guy like Tommy Wiseau eat for breakfast? And he was like, too personal, next question. And that was his answer. So, you know,
Do you feel satisfied by that?
I feel satisfied by that? I mean, like, I don't know. He's a caricature of himself. Who knows? Like, I love The Room. I think it's a very interesting movie.
Yeah.
You know,
so this is the 2007 version from Vanity Fair, Proust questionnaire. Number one.
Okay.
What is your idea of perfect happiness? Poke-Kells edition.
Okay. My idea of perfect happiness is,
try and like wrap it up in like a sentence or two. Yeah.
Just like a simple life.
Yeah.
A simple stressless life. Like, you know, it's really stupid. Wow. This really works. I wrote like a song when I was really stressed out and really sad and really angry. And it was about just running away to the forest and not being ever found again and just living out there doing nothing except for like fighting for my own food and like maybe growing my own food. I don't know. It's just like, that seems really ideal. And, you know, I don't know. I think perfect happiness is just finding simplicity and figuring out something and surrounding yourself with people and things that just like don't judge you, allow you to do exactly who you are. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. I vibe with that.
Big and just time. Trying to follow that.
For sure. Number two, what is your greatest fear?
I don't want to say it because I don't want to inspire anything.
You don't want to inspire anything?
My greatest fear is like people outside my windows, really, actually. Like, I don't know that, like the thought of it, like makes just a pit drop out of my chest. Like one time I was in our kitchen and like, I looked out my window and there was like a guy sleeping out like on the other side of the street, but he waved at me when I looked at him and it just like iced my bones. And I really just like that kind of shit, like the feeling of being watched is like really, really scary for me, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, that.
Yeah, feel that. Number three, what is the trait you most deplore in yourself?
The way that my inner voice talks to myself sometimes. I deplore it.
Very harsh.
I deplore it. I'm very self-critical and I say really horrible things to myself that I would never say to other people and I'm working on it.
Love that. Love that for you.
Thank you.
Number four, what is the trait that you most deplore in others?
Maliciousness, malicious duplicitousness.
Duplicitousness.
Malicious lying.
Okay.
Lying to hurt people and lying to make people's lives
bad worse faith, and harder. Interactions.
Bad faith interactions. Yeah.
Word. I feel that. Number five. Mm. Which living person do you most admire?
Living person? Do I most admire?
She's really searching.
That's a really hard one because it changes for me a lot, I think.
I think the best way to do this questionnaire is just to go with the first thing that pops into your head.
Amelia Clarke.
From Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But that was because she like lived through a couple brain aneurysms and like, I don't know, I read an article about her and dealing with like the aftermath after if you've had like a serious
so
health
nuts.
Event.
Yeah.
And she's just so brave and she's just so... like, you know, she just is really inspiring. So I don't know. I guess I super admire her. I really do.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Number six, what is your greatest extravagance? I know what mine is.
What is yours?
Definitely ordering food.
Yeah, that's a big one. I try. I try to like not do that as much. My greatest extravagance. I guess I don't get things for myself a lot, but when I do, I guess my greatest extravagance, my favorite thing, is a luxurious bubble bath with candles and music and snacks by the side, and maybe like a little like iPad up somewhere.
That's very modest.
There's nothing better than that.
I want you to know that there's nothing wasteful or audacious about that, and that is the sweetest answer I've ever heard. Number seven, what is your current state of mind?
I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where's your head at?
Like currently in this very moment.
Yeah.
I don't know, like focused, kind of excited about questions. Like
vibe that.
Engaged, locked in, I think.
Vibes.
Definitely Vibes. Engaged in more ways than one. I don't know. Good, I think. I think I'm in a pretty good headspace at the moment.
Sweet.
In general.
I love to hear that.
Yeah.
Number eight. This is a good one. What do you consider the most overrated virtue?
Oh. Politeness.
Yeah. Yeah. Like correctness. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I am a very polite person. Like, you know, I try to keep it real polite with people, especially when people I don't know, I like automatically like clam up and get super, super polite. But like when people like are like, I'm not going to speak with you if you're going to use that language, if you accidentally drop like an F-bomb in a sentence or something like that, it's just like.
Yeah, it's just an easy out.
It's an easy out and you're just avoiding the question. So like, we don't need to like be on decorum. So
yeah,
I think it's overrated. It's nice to be polite when it's the right way to be. Being
sure.
Polite is the right way to be in a lot of situations, but like it's not casualness is not indicative. They're not compatible. Being casual and being polite, like it's just like
it's not necessary to be polite all the time.
Yeah,
most of the time you're going to end up being polite anyway.
Yeah, and a lot of the times it'll hurt you more than it helps you, especially if you use it as a crutch. Like I do.
I don't like to value it.
You know,
I think it's important to be nice to people, but I don't think I'm like, well, I'm polite all the time.
Yeah, there's no need to be that.
Number nine, on what occasion do you lie?
when it's easier to not worry about it. For when it's easier for the other party to just not have to deal with it or worry about it.
Like a white lie.
Yeah. You know, like if, I don't know, like if, for example, I don't even know.
If getting somebody else involved is more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's gonna cause like an issue, it's like, you know, you say you're fine and you're not fine.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, you know, you didn't like when the other party just like doesn't need to know, it's not gonna hurt them.
Sure.
But like, you know, it just is like when you're setting a boundary, how about that?
I get
that's a good time to lie.
I get that.
I mean like not good time to lie, but like it's a good time that you don't need to
I'm not available right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I got that. Number 10, what do you most dislike about your appearance? You can pass if you don't want to say.
I don't really like the shape of my nose, but I'm fine with it.
I like your nose.
Thank you. Yours is much cuter.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm fine with it. And I think that I have the body that I have, and I learned a long time ago that I don't need to rely on other people's perception of me to like me. Cause really, you know, that's really important. I like to try to keep my body in a positive light and I would, you know,
love that.
So that's my answer. I don't like that sometimes. Okay. Now I'm getting that. Sometimes when my lips get chapped, I get a crack in the side of my lip. I hate that. I think it looks bad and I think it feels bad, but I don't really care. That's not really like part of my appearance. It just happens sometimes.
Vibes.
You know, I try to accept the body that I'm in.
For sure. Number 11, which living person do you most despise? You can just say their name if you want.
Yeah, I despise Donald Trump and then there's other people, but I won't name them.
Fair. The next two questions are a little bit not 2022, but here go. This is from 2007.
Okay.
What is the quality you like most in a man? And then the follow-up is, what is the quality you like most in a woman?
Okay. In a man, it's... in a man, it's... how do I just say this? It's not like one... It's when they're on the level and they treat me like a normal person and a regular person and someone on their as equal to them.
Yeah.
And in a woman.
Boobs.
I was going to say that. Yeah. well, actually, like, I really think tattoos are pretty hot, but I like them better on girls than I like them on guys.
Fair. next one
but
is
actually though. Let's talk about it like a real quality. I guess real quality in like a.
It's a real quality.
It is a real quality. True. And I guess for guys, physical qualities is legs, calves. I'm a calf person. And then for girls, I just you know what? For it's the same. Just being real and on the level with you, and not having pretenses, and just like talking to somebody open and honestly, and assuming that they're your equal.
Vibes.
That's always the hottest thing.
I love that.
That's how I fell in love with you.
Oh my God. It definitely wasn't looks. Let's put it, that's for sure.
You're really funny.
Yeah, I know. I thank God every day for that. Number 14, which words or phrases do you most overuse?
Out of control is one of them.
You do say out of control.
I know I do. I'm really self-conscious.
What do you call dogs? Silly?
Yeah, I say, you silly. Yeah. Oh, you so silly.
Yeah.
Out of control. I say things are wild a lot.
Out of control, you say a lot more than wild.
I know I do.
I love it.
That was the immediate answer. Yeah, I guess that's it. That satisfies it.
Number 15, what or who is the greatest love of your life?
Alex.
Oh.
It's you.
Oh my God.
I was going to make a joke about Wallace, but I don't think I'm ready for that. You are. You're amazing. You're out of control. You accept me. You like helped me to learn things about myself that I wasn't ready to like face even, but you've always been so just like willing to just like love me for who I am, even when I don't like myself. And that's amazing.
That is way. That's why I love you. That is too sweet.
I love you so much.
Feel very good. Thank you so much.
Look at you. Smile.
Number 16, when and where were you happiest?
I don't think that this is true, but I used to, when I was younger, my like Patronus generating memory was when I won the award for playing Puck in Shakespeare in Hollywood, which is like a Shakespeare retelling of Midsummer Night's Dream. Not Shakespeare. It's a like 1920s retelling of Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah.
And I won the award for playing that character in like our like not citywide, but like countywide acting competition. And like, I was so happy,
rates, man. Yeah.
I was so happy because I that was like my favorite role of all time, and it was like not acting. It was just I was just being
you
goofy.
Are Puck. Yeah.
I was just being goofy and myself on stage, and then I won an award for it, and I was like, I think it was really validating.
You are quite puckish, IRL.
I feel that is true as well.
Yeah. Number 17. Which talent would you most like to have?
I want to be able to play music on an instrument perfectly without having to do the work to learn it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I wish I could play. I have a keyboard. I wish I could play really good piano.
Yeah. I wish I could shred on guitar. Number 18. If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
I would find a tree all covered with mangoes. I would try to be better at supporting someone when they need it instead of taking on their emotions for them, you know? Like when people are sad, I get sad with them. And when people are angry, I get mad with them. And sometimes that prevents me from helping them.
You don't have control over the empathy.
Yeah.
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 I feel that. Number 20. If you were to die and come back as a person or a thing, what would it be?
A lizard.
A lizard?
Yes.
All right, done.
I would like to sit on a log and in the sun, I'd do little push-ups.
I get it. Lizard. Yeah. Easy life.
And I would just hope that I never got eaten. But if I did, it would probably be quick.
It would probably be like a lot more centering and like fine than it is like when you have all these weird made up stakes in your life.
Yeah.
You know?
Number 21, where would you most like to live?
Oh, forest.
Forest.
A forest. Vancouver was amazing.
It really was.
We went in May.
It really was good.
It was the most beautiful place I've ever been to. It's what I think about all the time when I think about like my ideal. Like if I'm like, I need to just like go away in my mind to someplace beautiful. It's always a beautiful moss covered forest like that. And so yeah, maybe it's Vancouver.
That's fucking great.
PNW. You know what? Somebody once told me that they were like, you seem like you could be a Pacific Northwest girl. And I was like, you know what? Thank you. Because I feel like I could be. I've never been, except for Vancouver, I guess. But that's not really like, I guess PNW is more like Washington, Oregon.
I think that, right? Vancouver is,
I think Vancouver should count. It's right the there. Vibe. It's right there.
I would say that it is absolutely the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it literally is.
Yeah. Number 22, what is your most treasured possession?
There is a beautiful painting of my late dog out in our living room.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
And Amanda painted it for me. And she painted it before Wallace passed away, but she gave it to me for Christmas one year. And it's just a small little like 6x6 painting of Wallace. And it's beautiful.
It's him.
I really do love that.
Yeah, in my mind, it's him, yeah.
Yeah, especially after he passed, it was like, it's been everything that is still up in our house, and it's, you know, it's beautiful. It looks exactly like him.
It really does.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Number 23, what do you regard as the lowest depth of misery?
Your own mental prison.
Yes.
Your own mental prisons. The lowest depth of misery is the cage that you put around your own self.
It's totally owning yourself for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like, when I think about the times that I've been saddest, it's been completely something that I've done to myself. And I think that's a pretty bad type of misery. And I think that if you ever feel that misery, that you really just need to talk to somebody, anybody, because they can help you get out of that place. Because the worst, I think a lot of times our worst enemy is ourselves.
100. Big time. I really agree.
Hmm.
Being ashamed of yourself. Mm-hmm. It's to me the bottom.
Yeah.
Number 24, what is your favorite occupation?
The people that go out and count birds.
Great.
The birds in the forest to make sure, like, to see how many there are and what kinds are around.
Very cool.
I think that's
job.
The coolest job. So cool.
Very healthy lifestyle.
So awesome. That would be the best. If anyone knows how to do that, I'd be great at it.
Yeah. Number 25, find her on Twitter at PokeKills. Let her know. 25, what is your most marked characteristic?
I don't know. I think that's something for others to judge, really, honestly. Like how
you
come
have
across.
To hear it.
Yeah, I think people often tell me that I'm really just like bubbly and positive, which is funny because I don't think I'm as much that way over the past few years, but I still think I still think at my least bubbly, I'm still pretty bubbly. And I think from doing improv for so many years, I don't have as many inhibitions as a lot of people do. So a lot of people are surprised at how far out on a limb I'll go. Like I'll just like, you know, sing a Broadway song, like no problem. I'm not worried about it. And a lot of people think that that's really difficult. And it's not like, you know, for me, that's not a problem. There's a hummingbird right outside the window. He's gone. What? He's gone. No, he was right there.
He's there.
Oh, there he is. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. What's up, dude? Yeah.
Hello.
Yay.
Hell yeah. That's another marked characteristic is that like I get very excited.
Animal lady.
A lot of things.
That's actually what I was going to say. Is animal lady.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know.
People are like, my dog just swallowed a fucking worm. Is he going to be okay?
It's like the story of my life is that somebody I haven't spoken to in 6 years will like text me and be like, hey, what's up? And I'll be like, what's up? What's wrong with your pet? Because that's the next question.
Number 26, what do you most value in your friends?
Acceptance.
Bam. The good one. The good answer.
Yeah.
27, who are your favorite writers?
I like, well, Neil Gaiman, because I'm reading Sandman. I really, really like that. You know,
I would say Lemony Snicket.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I was going to say Lemony Snicket. I love A Series of Unfortunate Events. I also love the Redwall book series by Brian Jacques.
Brian Jacques? I don't know.
I always said Jacques, but I don't know. It's J A Q U E S.
Yeah, could be
Jacques.
Yeah, I don't know.
And who else is a good writer? Lots of good writers. I read The Memory Librarian by Janelle Monáe. It was excellent.
It was
Janelle
like,
Monáe. It was like a collaboration. I think she collaborated with a lot of different writers on the stories, but like the stories.
But it was like fiction.
Real good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It was a fiction story. It was not like an autobiography or something, but it was really good.
Cool.
I highly recommend it.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think those are good writers. And yeah. Then there's probably some good songwriters, but it's hard to think.
It's fine. You gave us some good names.
Thanks.
If somebody wanted to Google, they could.
Thanks.
Speaking of fiction, 28, who is your hero of fiction?
My hero of fiction?
Favorite fictional character?
It's Luna Lovegood, though.
Oh, yeah.
Though her writer is problematic, but Luna was always, I really identified with her and I really felt a kinship with her as like the weird one who doesn't really care and knows and embraces that. And I always thought that she was smart, and I always thought that she and Harry should have actually been together because they seemed more compatible on like a ability to be real with each other level. So yeah, I'm a Harry Luna shipper, I guess.
Oh shit.
Not I guess, I am.
Oh shit, okay. 29, what historical figure do you most identify with?
Historical figure?
Yeah.
Historical figure.
It's a toughie.
I don't know, like Jane Goodall, maybe?
The gorillas?
Yeah, she's still alive, but she made history with...
She counts, yeah.
She made history with like animal cognition and everything like that.
You don't
like
have to be dead to be a historical figure.
David Attenborough, I love.
That's another one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
But also not like super historical figures.
Super, yes, very famous.
Very historical. I don't know, like someone long dead? Yeah, animal people.
You don't
people.
Have to choose someone long dead if you don't want to.
I don't want to, yeah. I don't care about history. I've never, I like history. I know that it's important, but it's never been my favorite subject.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. 30, who are your heroes in real life?
My sister and you.
Oh my gosh.
Shout outs to Melanie. My friend Melanie.
A true hero.
She was a true hero. She was truly heroic towards
Came
me.
Came through on a real time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 31. Here we go. This is a good one. What are your favorite names?
I like V names.
Oh, yeah?
Olivia, I always liked.
Like the V sound in a name.
Veronica. Yeah. Violet. You know? Cool names.
Yeah.
I like those names.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I also, I don't know. I have like this weird thing about the name Jake that it always just keeps coming up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like had like one of the most like significant dreams that I've ever had, like had a character named Jake in it. Like just, I don't know. The name always comes up in weird ways and it's always like, it's always a fucking Jake, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess for some, my best friend in third grade was named Jake.
Jake, this one's for you. This bud's for you, Jake. Where you at, Jake?
He lives in Texas with my college roommate.
Yeehaw,
Gabby.
Jake.
Gabby.
Gabby, yeehaw.
Shout out to Gabby and Jake. They're married.
Yeehaw. Number 32, what is it that you most dislike?
That I most dislike?
Yep.
People with bad dog opinions.
Ooh.
Lots of people with bad dog opinions.
I just like people on Twitter that are dumb.
People
in the world that are dumb, I guess.
I dislike people that are unwilling to change.
Yeah, unapologetically dumb.
Unwilling to change is a really bad trait.
Number 33, what is your greatest regret?
I have one actually, but I can't remember it right now. I think that it's not super healthy to dwell on those things for a lot of times, but there is something, but it's a really specific situation that like, I wish I hadn't have said something, but I think that's where I'll leave it. I think.
And that's a pass. Yeah.
I think it's good. Yeah. I think that's it.
Fair.
Yeah.
34. How would you like to die?
Painlessly.
Sniped.
Yeah, quickly maybe. Like I don't want to draw it out all that long, you know. It's probably likely, but I'd rather do it painlessly and in a way where people aren't really terribly sad and affected. That's what I don't fear death.
You become
an
enemy of the people and then get sniped.
I don't fear the concept of death. I fear more the sadness and loneliness that the people I love will have to feel after it.
Yeah.
And so I just hope that it's okay and that people are like, yeah, this it's fine.
Graceful. Yeah. My vibe graceful. On that.
Final question on the Proust questionnaire, 2007 Vanity Fair version.
Okay, yeah.
This is a deep. This is a deep one.
This is okay.
Well, no, this one's not. But I just mean this,
the whole thing is a deep one. Yeah.
Number 35. Last question. What is your motto?
My motto?
Yeah.
I am strong. I am capable. I am brave.
That's good.
It's from Old Enough.
I love that. Perfect answer. Perfect, like, you answer also. Yeah, and that's a super 2007 Vanity Fair Proust questionnaire, bros. Thank you so much for being the pilot interviewee on that.
That was fun.
It was kind of weird, right? Like, yeah. Kind of neat, right?
It was kind of neat. And, like, you know, like, it's cool to talk to you about this. I'm going to ask you these afterwards now, because now it's, like, interesting. Like, yeah. You know?
Yeah, for sure. I'm super
We like
that.
Each other. We kind of know the answers to a lot of these questions.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We'll hear you say them.
Yeah. So that's that segment. This is the part normally where we would ask the next week's question to you guys and stuff. So instead of that, because I don't want to leave our patrons high and dry, as a surprise, I'm going to have a bonus request.
Mm.
There's a bonus request.
Mm.
As a surprise bonus segment for Brett next week.
Okay.
Since I want to wait for him to continue the Q&A, like I said, I'd like for Podcast Plus patrons to send in, and I'm going to put this on the form that I send out to you guys, send in whatever their version of an overly intimate question is for Brett to possibly consider answering on the show next time, which you can do today, right now, at patreon.com/superbeardbros. Obviously, this is a public podcast. We're not asking you for money in order to hear it. But if you want to get involved, if you want to be a part of the show, if you want to have a chance to name the show, if you want to have a chance to answer these questions and have your responses read live on air, or if you want to have an overly intimate question of yours be asked directly to Brett next time we have a show, let us know. And since you're here, do you have an overly intimate question that you'd like to ask Brett? Oh shit! She's got like a she's got a look on her face.
I'm just trying to like.
You want to set the bit up for success.
I want to set it for success. I don't want to go crazy right away. You know, I don't want people to think like, oh, all bets are off. I'll be the one to get him.
He doesn't like, have to. He doesn't have to answer the question.
Yeah, he doesn't. If he doesn't want to. Who is his favorite family member?
Oh, good. I like the amount of sting on that is good.
Favorite family member.
Favorite family mm-hmm, member. Mm-hmm. Not who is the best. Who is your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. So yeah, go on there, patreon.com/superbeardbros. Sign up. And if you're already signed up, go ahead and ask a question for Brett and we'll ask it to him next week.
I should have said friend. Family member is fine.
Yeah, that's good. We're at the office. Kels, thank you so much for jumping in.
Of course.
I love you very much.
I love you.
Is there anywhere on the internet you'd like the people to come find you? Anything that you want to send people to go check out while you're here?
Yeah, you can check me out at PokeKels on Twitter and on Instagram. But you can also please check out my other Instagram and Twitter, Red Scale Design, which is where I post my artwork that is for sales. And it's not always for sale. You can just go look at the artwork too.
It's cool jewelry. It's cool little dioramas, little mini bottle dioramas. It's all awesome.
Etsy.com/redscaledesign. I do wire wrapped jewelry. I do sculptures in bottles.
It's beautiful. It's like really, literally little.
Thanks. They're really small. They're really, usually the sculptures are about a centimeter tall.
Yeah.
And they're nuts. Pokemon. They're like fully, I do all the details.
In environments, in a bottle.
In a little environment.
They're very cute. Yeah.
I love them. I really love them. And I started selling them because I was like, I can't have all of these.
Yeah. And also on Tuesdays for the next couple weeks, at least.
Yeah, that's right. I'm on a D&D live show right now on the Girls Run These Worlds Twitch channel. Girls Run These Worlds. It's just those four words.
Yeah.
Twitch channel. And it's a Kids on Bikes TTRPG. And
like
it's
Stranger set, Things vibes. Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of set in, it's set in rural Washington in the 1990s. And it's really fun. And it's gone wild, wild. Lots of meta multiverse things happening.
I love that stuff.
Not metaverse, multiverse things. Like
Facebook, online.
Actually, it's just like reality bending. It's just really, really, really cool. It's really fun.
Yeah,
it's,
it sounded like you were having some fun last night.
Yeah, it was fun. It's really fun. Yeah, check it out. We're going until, you know, September. So there's a few episodes left on that yet. So
that.
Check me out Tuesday evenings, 4 p.m. Pacific.
All right. Well, thank you again. I'm Alex.
I'm Kels.
And thank you for listening to the Beard Show. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
produced